This week's mailbag comes to us from Lori. My sixth Sunday basket. This one is heading to college for our youngest child. She has ADD and dyslexia, and we have all seen firsthand how much the baskets at home help her to collect her thoughts and serve as a physical place to dump her brain. Lisa, God bless the work that you do.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. So, do I or don't I have an ADHD diagnosis? That's what we're going to get to the bottom of here in the month of October. October is ADHD Awareness Month, and I thought it would be interesting to finally figure out, do I or do I not have an official ADHD diagnosis? Before we get started, I just want to explain that I am a woman with a microphone who went to school and has a teaching degree. I own a business, but I am not a psychologist. I am not a doctor. I'm just going to share with you my experience and my understanding of ADHD in the next couple of podcast episodes, and specifically get to the bottom of, do I or do I not have an official medical ADHD diagnosis? So when did all of this, do I or don't I have a diagnosis, start? Well, I never really went to a doctor to find out if I did or didn't have an ADHD diagnosis as a student or as a young adult. Why didn't I? Well, I mean, I've talked to my mother since, and she does not think I have ADHD, so she's a creative. It's like, I don't think Lisa has any problems. And when I was young and I was a teacher, if I do or don't have ADHD, it wasn't affecting my everyday life. And then as I was getting my kids diagnosed with ADHD and other different diagnoses, one of my children has lost their ADHD diagnosis. So they had one, they both had one, and only one still has that diagnosis. I did not think that I had ADHD, so I did not pursue a diagnosis for myself. And I know a lot of people, when their children are diagnosed with ADHD, they then realize, oh, maybe I have ADHD. So they go along the lines of figuring out their own ADHD diagnosis. As you know, my children are adopted, so ADHD has a genetic component, but my children are not biologically my children, so that would not have spurred me to get an ADHD diagnosis. Along the way, when I turned 40 and started to organize 365, I started going into people's homes and organizing them. And when I would organize inside of people's homes, 50% of the people that I organized, the women that I organized, said to me, I have ADHD, or I've not been officially diagnosed, but I think that I have ADHD. And I thought it was interesting that it was such a high preponderance of people that were saying to me that they either had ADHD or they thought that they had ADHD. And my children had already been diagnosed with ADHD at that time. They were already attending Springer School and Center in Cincinnati for language learning disabilities. So I was familiar with ADHD and how that can impact your school. Like when I was a school teacher, I had many children that either had or ended up being diagnosed with ADHD. And I understood as a math teacher, especially, how impactful an ADHD diagnosis was, especially in doing algebra or doing long division or any of these math concepts that involved so many steps that had to be done in a certain order. That's typically where we would see students that were newly diagnosed with ADHD or soon to be diagnosed with ADHD struggle until we put in better supports for them. So I was very familiar with ADHD. So I was in home organizing many women, all of whom, I would say the commonality of every single woman that I physically organized in Cincinnati had what I call this roadkill experience, or basically life gets moving too fast and it literally runs you over. And There are many ways to get through these inevitable, unexpected, and life events. Like, we are all going to have times in our life where life gets moving too fast and we get run over by an illness, by a death, by a move, by a job change. Like, there are just these times in life where life just seems to spin up faster than you can keep up and you get run over. And in observing people, specifically over the last decade, as I now know that this is a common occurrence, I watch when life gets moving too fast, how people cope with that. Like, what do they do when life gets moving too fast? And in the case of being an in-home professional organizer, it was interesting to see how that played out inside of homes in Cincinnati. And for the most part, the homes that I organized in Cincinnati had a significant amount of disposable income. They weren't worried about, you know, how they were going to pay for dinner that night. And they saw professional organization services as a tool and a service to use to help get out of these spun up times in life. So I would often go in and I would organize when a new doctor or a lawyer came to town and they moved in, and I would do the unboxing and we would set up their house for them. Or someone had a baby, or someone got a new job, or someone passed away. And these people were pretty well organized and they had a lot going on in their life, and they used services to get through these unexpected life events with money. And this is just what they did. This is not the normal subset of America. This is like the top 1%, if you ask me. But then there were a lot of women that I would organize on a regular basis, every 2 weeks, every month. And they had the disposable income to have a professional organizer come to their house, but they didn't have an unlimited amount of disposable income. Usually in these instances, their spouses had significant jobs in the community. They were heads of company, or they were physicians, or they were lawyers. And so there was a significant amount of income coming into the family, but there was a significant amount of income going out of the family. And while the female head of the household was orchestrating that part of the budget, there was some accountability, like, where is this money going? How much is this professional organizer costing? And the common refrain after "I have ADHD" or "I suspect I have ADHD" was this: "My spouse thinks I should be able to do this myself, but I don't know how. And so I'm allowed to have this certain amount of money to solve this problem, but really I should know how to solve it without hiring you and without spending any money." I was like, interesting. So knowing what I knew about ADHD and how it affects, you know, organization at school, time on tasks, being able to get through multiple steps, what I observed both in the classroom and in my own household was that when you had an ADHD diagnosis, it wasn't that you couldn't do the work. You could do the work. It was that you need more support and structure around you in order to get organized to do the work. Like, understanding how to do the work or coming up with the answer was not the issue. The issue was getting started, staying organized, reading the directions for clarity, making sure you hit all of the steps, not the actual intellect of doing whatever it is you were supposed to do. And I thought about my own children and organizing their bedrooms and how today they can organize their bedrooms just fine, but how long it took to learn that skill. And as I was working with a couple of these women over the course of more than a year, I realized that, okay, this organization is a learnable skill. Some people pick it up very quickly, and some people it just takes a little bit longer to learn it. For example, I can only speak English, and I'm fluent in sarcasm, but I cannot learn another language. Like, I've taken 4 years of French. I can't even say a sentence. Like, I've been to France, can't speak a thing. I know nothing. It's really difficult for me. Could I learn a foreign language? Probably. It would take me the rest of my life. Like, I'm just not good at it. My brain just does not process that very well. And I found the same thing with organization. Everyone that I ended up organizing in Cincinnati learned the skill of organizing. They are still more organized today than they were 10 years ago when we started organizing. So organization is a learnable skill. It just takes more steps. And I thought it was interesting that emotional layer that was put on top of the ADHD diagnosis, whether diagnosed or not, that I believe I have ADHD or I've been diagnosed with ADHD. This is a struggle for me. I'm allowed to spend the money on it, but I also shouldn't need to spend the money on it because I should be able to do it on my own. I thought that's so interesting. So as I was observing this and thinking about 50%, if 50% of your clients or 50% of the students in your classroom or 50% of your family members had something, you would start to look into it more. So I was already researching ADHD for my kids, but I was now researching ADHD for my clients. And so in 2018, I wrote the book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization, because it does. Like, the executive function of the brain, which is the part of the brain that is responsible for organization and planning and time on task and all of those things, is impacted by ADHD. And as I've explained before, remember, school teacher here, not medical person, ADHD is a spectrum disorder, meaning that you can have mild ADHD or severe. There is a spectrum of how ADHD affects different things in your life. And so I applied that to home organization for people who could not hire me as an in-home organizer. Here's a book. And starting this month, you can get this book absolutely for free. Just search Organize 365 wherever you're listening to this podcast. We have a new ADHD playlist. Spoiler alert, it's the ADHD book. Now remember, it's written by me. It's just like layperson's thoughts about observations I've had as a teacher and a parent and a professional organizer working with people who do have an ADHD diagnosis. What are the things that I have noticed impact their ability to learn the skill of organization or maintain organization and how to circumvent those? And the answer, especially if you have a more significant diagnosis, is people. Like, people help those diagnosed with ADHD learn skills faster and set up structures and support. So in 2012 to 2015, I did primarily in-home organizing. And then in 2018, I wrote the book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization. And that led to this spring. So this spring, ADHD Online reached out to me and they asked me to do a webinar for them, which I did. And then we got to talking and I said, well, let me do a series of webinars on all of our research and then apply it to how this affects ADHD, a diagnosis of ADHD. They're like, all in, let's do this. So we did that in the month of June. And as I was doing these webinars for ADHD Online and getting to know the company better, I thought, I wonder if I have ADHD. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but like everybody and their brother all of a sudden has ADHD. So I follow Dan Sullivan. He's just turned 80 or about to turn 80. He's just gotten diagnosed with ADHD and all these other online personalities that I follow in the last year have come out with an ADHD diagnosis and they are medicating. I thought, so interesting, because what I had learned like 15 years ago when I was researching ADHD is that your executive function, part of your brain, and remember this is just from recollection, is developing, and now they know that your brain just develops your entire lifetime. But 15 years ago, what I read was that your brain develops until the age of 25, and that after the age of 40, your executive function naturally starts to wane. And it's just like a natural aging of your body. Now, I'm kind of into biohacking. Now, when I say I'm kind of into biohacking, I mean like I'm not giving up sugar. I'm not giving up, like, I'm not doing anything extreme, but I want to know all of the information. So for my 50th birthday in March, Greg got me an Oura ring, O-R-U-A, I think it is. It's like this, I thought it was metal. It's plastic, by the way. If you get it, it's like $300. It's a ring. I only wear it at night because I use my Apple Watch during the day. So I use my Apple Watch during the day to track my steps, and I use the Oura ring at night to help me with my sleep. I've learned so much about my sleep. I now don't eat 4 hours before I go to bed. I've given up all alcohol just for many reasons. I didn't used to drink a lot, but I had 2 drinks at the LPGA and I almost passed out on the golf course. I thought, okay, you know what, Lisa, your body just does not do well with alcohol. And then my hot flashes start coming back like, okay, no alcohol. So I'm going through menopause. I'm learning about my sleep. I'm learning about all these changes that my body is naturally going through. And for people who like to get that kind of information, it's called biohacking. If you implement ideas based on it more than I do, then you're a serious biohacker. I just like to get the information. Like, the next thing I want to do is one of those continuous glucose monitors. Again, I'm not giving up my sugar, but the order in which you eat food impacts the amount of sugar in your bloodstream. Fascinating. I just find it fascinating. I'm just a researcher. So because I'm a researcher and because I'm thinking about all these things, I was sitting with Barbara Hunter, who I met also at Springer School and Center. So Springer School and Center in Cincinnati, Ohio, is a learning disability school. And Joey was there for 6 years and Abby was there for four. So I like to say that I was there for 8 years because they overlapped. I got my degree too. But I learned a lot about ADHD. I learned a lot about learning disabilities. I just learned a lot when my kids were there because I took any extra classes that they offered. And they often, in conjunction with Cincinnati Children's Hospital, would bring in the world-renowned experts in ADHD each year, and you could go and you could hear them speak. So I did. And there I met Barbara Hunter. So when I first started there, Barbara was the center director, and then she moved on to being the technology integration specialist and center program coordinator. She was at Springer School and Center for 20 years. So Barbara and I got to know each other pretty well, and she is now owns the company Integrated Learning Design, where she does executive function coaching. So we were having lunch, Barbara and I were having lunch, and I was like, you know, isn't it interesting that all these people are getting diagnosed with ADHD? And, you know, I just did these webinars for ADHD online, and we were talking about wanting to be speakers at the CHAD conference in Dallas. I said, how do I really get into this conversation about executive function, especially as it relates to home organization? Because most of what's done in the ADHD field and in executive coaching is centered around how it impacts students at school or how it impacts employees in the workplace. And I'm just telling you, it also comes home. Nobody's talking about it coming home and how do we get people organized at home? And, you know, the emotional toll it takes when you are disorganized at home and the inability to get organized without a person or a lot of money. And how do we help people who are at home and disorganized get organized and learn the skill without sending a person in, without sending a teacher in? And so we were having that conversation and I think I offhandedly said, oh yeah, people say I have ADHD. And she looked at me like, yeah. And I was like, do you think I have ADHD? I was like, this is so interesting. ADHD online. I mean, you can find out in 3 days. Like you just take the test. It tells you you have it in 3 days. It's like $150. Like I could know by the end of the week. She goes, you should. I said, why? Why would I want to find out if I have ADHD? I'm not going to take medication. My life is just fine. Not that I'm not saying I wouldn't take medication as in I think there's anything wrong with it. If I have ADHD, it's not impacting my life to the point where I need to do any interventions because, I don't know, I'm organized, I'm successful. Like, I'm not roadkill right now. My life is going along just fine right now. There's nothing broken. I don't need to fix anything. Not that you need to fix it. You just take this with the grace that I'm, give me the grace to have this conversation. So she said, well, if you have ADHD, you should know. And it will just be more informed. So then the rest of the lunch, I'm like doing whatever. And she's like, there's another sign. There's another sign. And I want to stop right here and say, do you think that I have ADHD? So when the book, How ADHD Affects Home Organization came out, I showed it to my family. And one of my aunts was like, well, yeah, you should know because you have ADHD. I'm like, I do not have ADHD. And I threw like this temper tantrum at on the driveway. I remember exactly where I was. I got in the car and Greg goes, did you get all that out? What is the matter with you? I was like, well, I'm not diagnosed with ADHD. I don't have ADHD. And he's like, really? I was like, well, I'm not diagnosed. So anyways, I'm not diagnosed with ADHD. And I'm like, what is my deal? Like, what is my deal about being diagnosed or not being diagnosed with ADHD? It doesn't matter. Either you are or you aren't. Lisa, why does it matter? So I said to Barbara, I said, here's the thing. At this time, if I were to find out I was diagnosed with ADHD, I don't feel I need to be medicated. So why would I need a diagnosis? Like, how would that help me if I had a diagnosis? And she said, well, you know, if you find out if you are or you are not ADHD, then it can inform your future actions or, you know, you should just know. And I was like, but why? To what end? Like, what could I do with that information? And I said, here's what I want to know, Barbara. Here's what I want to know. I want to know How does ADHD affect executive function? And how do you know if your executive function is optimal? And how can you make your executive function more optimal? She goes, oh, there's a test for that. I give that test. I said, you do? I want to take that test. She said, okay, well, it's called the brief. And I think it's the brief two now, but I took the brief A because that's what she had in her office. She said, okay, so this is how we do this. I send you the survey, you take it, and then you have Greg take it, and then you need somebody at your office to give it to you. Not to give it to you, but you need somebody at your office to take it for you. I think it's 42 questions that they answer, and you all answer the same questions. So the brief is the behavior rating inventory of executive function for adults, the brief A. I was like, all right, give me the test. Now, of course, this was not going to be done in 3 days. So I sign up for that. She's going to send me those. I go back to the office. I look up ADHD online. Yep, sure enough, it's $150. You take a couple of these tests. You answer these questions. You could start and stop. I'm like, okay. So I get started, and then I got scared. I was like, I don't know if I want to know. I don't know if I want to know if I have ADHD or not. And even now, I'm like nervous inside to tell you. And I'm like, why? What is this, people? What is this? Why are we like this when we're like a label, a name, a yes or a no? Like, why? Why do we like to deal with the ambiguity of not knowing more than knowing? I don't know if you're like that, but I'm definitely like that. So I wander out to the warehouse, distracting myself, not finishing my task, and I find Joey. And Joey's doing Joey work. He's kidding up Sunday baskets. He's doing whatever. And he's got the boxes and they're flying. He's like in the groove. And I'm like, so Joey, do you think I have ADHD? And he just starts laughing. I'm like, what? And he's like, I don't know, Mom. I said, Joey, there's this test. I can take this test and they'll tell me if I do or I don't have ADHD. He's like, okay, take the test. And I was like, I don't know, Joey. Should I find out if I have ADHD? And he goes, Mom. He stops looking. He looks at me. He goes, Mom, you told me that ADHD is what makes me amazing. And ADHD is a different way of looking at the world. And if you have it, you should find out. And I was like, he's right. That's right. I do. Like, I do. If you go back and you listen to my talking about ADHD, I talk about how I think it's actually an evolution of the brain. Like, people that I know that have had ADHD for a long, they just think differently. They think differently. They see different assimilations. Like, I love that mind. I love the ADHD mind. I'm like, what am I? So I walk straight back into my office. I finish taking the test and I press send. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I do or if I don't have ADHD. Now, what was interesting about taking the test is that I thought it was about how I am acting today. And as I took the test, I remembered, oh, yeah. Every time I have done tests for my kids to officially get some kind of a diagnosis, they always go back to childhood. How were you as a child before you turned 18 or 21? Whenever you get any of these brain-based diagnoses, it is going to go back to how did you act as a child? And so I had to really think. You know, my recollection of how I acted as a child is my recollection. I've since talked to my mom. It's not the same recollection she had. But also, you know, I'm 50. So this is a long time ago we were talking about. And so I was thinking, okay, what things in childhood, if a girl was, I would have never been diagnosed as ADHD as a child. I would have never been diagnosed because it would have, such mild ADHD. In 8th grade, the kid next to me who literally stuck his tongue to the flagpole in the winter, he would have been diagnosed with ADHD. Me, I would not have been diagnosed with ADHD. But if I were to look for clues about what would have been an ADHD diagnosis, here are some of the things that I remember from childhood. One, the clearest one would have been that I had this floating C. So I've talked about this on the podcast before. Sometimes it was a C in English, sometimes it was in history, sometimes it was in science. And I would work really hard on that subject and get that grade up to an A or B, and the C would go to a different subject. Like, I could not get a report card with all A's and B's. There was always a C, and it was in some subject. That just drove me crazy as a child that I could not get all A's and B's. I was talkative. Now, I was a good girl. I was a goody two shoes. I did not talk when I was not supposed to talk, but as soon as talking was allowed, I was talking nonstop, usually to adults. Second, I do interrupt people. I'm very interruptory when I talk because I have so many ideas. It doesn't mean that I'm not listening. I am totally listening. I interrupt. I talk fast. I do everything fast. I've always been a fast person. I drove fast, lots of speeding tickets, lots of accidents. I am a busy body. I mean, busy. I have two speeds. I am asleep or I'm awake doing things. I don't have a chill setting. I don't vacation well. I don't understand how to do it. When I am watching TV, I'm also doing a jigsaw puzzle or I'm folding laundry or like my hands are always going. I am always going. So I hit send and then a couple days later, I got my response. And according to ADHD Online, I do have ADHD. Then I got my response from Barbara Hunter. And next week, I'm going to share with you, what did Barbara Hunter have to say about my executive function, which is really what I wanted to know. I don't care if I do or don't have an ADHD diagnosis. I want to optimize my executive function. How am I doing on that? You'll find out on the podcast next week.